Have you ever dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with radio production experience and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be a part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447.
I am Jim Marchant, and I'm running for re-election for Assembly District 37. I will vote against any effort to raise your property taxes, against allowing Nevada to become a sanctuary state, against continued efforts to violate your Second Amendment rights, and against school districts being able to levy taxes on you. This is the most critical election in our history, and it is very important that you get out and vote for candidates like me that believe as you do. I am Jim Marchant, and I humbly ask for your support and vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now all across the state of Nevada. President Trump traveled to Nevada for the, 12th time? Huge crowd in Elko. Turned out for what I call a hangar rally with Air Force One as a stunning backdrop to the speech. How was the president received? Well, joining us now, the guy that did the speech. The 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, you're back in Nevada for the 12th time, believe it or not, and you're supporting the re-election of Senator Dean Heller. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Dean, how it has evolved? You admitted, I know during the Las Vegas rally that I was at, that there was a time not too long ago when you guys didn't like each other. What changed?
Right. Well, I didn't know Dean, and I had just started running for office, and then I ran for office, and I had nothing. I really didn't know very much about him, other than he was known as a strong guy and a smart guy, but I didn't know him, and he didn't know me, and I think instinctively, maybe, we didn't like each other very much, and there was never much of a relationship, and then I got elected, and I had to start working with senators and others, and Dean was right at the forefront. He was fantastic, and we actually have become friends, and that's why I'm out here today, to support Dean Heller, and also Adam Laxalt, who's going to be a terrific governor. They have to win. It's very important. You know, when the federal government works with people, you have to be able to get along with those people. So Dean's relationship with me has really evolved, and I think it's been very, very special, very great. We even flew out here together.
I noticed that. I noticed the two of you getting off Air Force One
right
together. You took a lot of flack from Democrats in the last week for describing their party as a, quote, angry mob. Now, in the last few days here in Nevada, I think you probably know about this by now, we had a Democrat operative physically assault Adam Laxalt's campaign manager.
Right.
Do you have any regrets at introducing the term mob into our political lexicon, or is it just brutally honest?
No, it's honest. And wouldn't you be shocked if I said I had regret? Would you be surprised if I said, oh,
I would be shocked.
You would be, you'd probably turn off the interview and say, that's not Trump. That's somebody else. No, I no interest in that at all. I will tell you, they become angry, they become bitter. And you saw that with the hearings. And actually, you saw it with the Neil Gorsuch, Justice Gorsuch hearing. But to an extent that was at least within the bounds of taste. This last situation, what they did with Brett Kavanaugh was just one of the worst things I've ever seen. And it was all fiction, made-up stuff. They tried to ruin his life, his family, his kids. He's got these two beautiful, wonderful daughters. and what they did to him. And I think that's one of the reasons the Republican Party is so totally energized. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And I think the rallies help also, the rallies that I've been doing. You know, you see the spirit. But I really believe that the way they treated Justice Kavanaugh has been, while horrible, it's really helped the Republican Party.
Again, the President of the United States joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline, joining us from Elko, where he just got off the stage. It looks like the so-called caravan with over, 4,000 Central American migrants has been turned around at the Mexican border. I want to know how you did this. No other president's ever been able to work with Mexico like this.
No other president's been able to do it because I think they respect me and I respect them. I don't think they had any respect for our previous leaders. And they respect me, and they know I'm not playing games. And I called them, and I said, really, I would appreciate your help. This can't happen. Don't forget, they have to travel over 1,000 miles up through Mexico. So Mexico is able to do a lot. And frankly, we talked to Honduras. We said, we're paying you millions and millions of dollars in one case, $300 million. That's a lot of money, by the way. And we're giving aid to these countries, and they're allowing this to happen. And we said, we're not going to let you do this. And it stopped. El Salvador also, it stopped. And Mexico, though, in particular, has been fantastic. We really appreciate it.
Mr. President, I know we have a limited amount of time. I got one final question. It's a point of personal privilege for me. I want to ask a personal question, and I put it to your son, Eric, earlier this week on my show here. He was a guest on my program. How do you get up every morning and fight for all of us when every day you are battling the fake news media, resistance, the deep state, and even folks within your own party? How they're all hell-bent on destroying your administration. How do you do it?
They are hell-bent. It's terrible. And, you know, you think they'd like low taxes. You think they'd like a strong military, good education, all the things we're doing. But I guess it's something beyond that. I really enjoy it only because we're achieving. If we weren't winning, I think I'd probably be like anybody else would be because the attack is so vicious. The New York Times, I could do the greatest thing in the world and they would make it look bad. I could do, you know, between the Washington Post, the New York Times, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN is just ridiculous. People aren't even watching it anymore. It's so ridiculous. Their ratings are down the tubes. But, you know, when you win, Kevin, you know this because you've been doing great for a long time. Your ratings are phenomenal, and you've been doing great, so you know about winning because in your business it's all about the ratings, unfortunately or fortunately. When you win, you feel a little bit differently, and we have done more and completed more than any administration in the first 2 years, and we're still, you know, really 3 months shy of that, 2.5 months shy of that. So we still have a ways to go, but we have, in 2 years, we have done more than any other administration in the history of our country, and that makes me happy. So we have to fight these artificial forces and real forces. I mean, they're real forces. They make up Russia stuff, and they do so many different things. And we fight it, but we're winning, and we're really achieving something great for the people of this country. That makes me happy.
Mr. President, thanks so much for all you've done for our country, for our state. Safe travels as you continue on this, 5-state tour. Hope we can talk again real soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being so nice. Thank you, Kevin, and I look forward to seeing you again. Thanks a lot.
The President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, joining us. The interview was taped about within 5 minutes of him getting off the stage in Elko on Saturday. And, I tell you, not bad to have an opening act, the President of the United States. But that's what Michael Schaus finds himself involved with now because the Communications Director for Nevada Policy is joining us in studio. Good opening act.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's about time, actually. You know,
we've been trying for this for a long time, and it finally came through. The President was in the state stumping for Dean Howe. Are you surprised at that turnaround? Because they hated each other.
Yeah, you know, I think that this is kind of the untold benefit of somebody that actually wants to get something done. You're forced to work with people that you wouldn't otherwise work with. I mean, he got up to, you know, President got into Washington, D.C. There were a lot of people there that didn't like him. And there were, I'm sure, a lot of people he didn't like. But in order to get something passed, say, for example, tax cuts, you're going to have to make some new friends. So it doesn't totally surprise me. I'm glad to see, actually, that, you know, he was the type of person who would reach out to folks that traditionally didn't like him, just so that way he could actually get something accomplished.
Do you think, will they butt heads over policy again, you think?
Oh, of course. I think that it's something that we take for granted. You know, we always look at Republicans, we think all Republicans should be lockstep, and Democrats always look at Democrats and say they should all be lockstep. Honestly, those are just parties. Parties are vehicles for policy ideas. That's it. That means that, you know, Dean and Donald Trump, they might agree on a couple of things here or there. There might be a time down the road where they hit something and they just say, I'm sorry, we can't work together on this. So I wouldn't put it past it. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's just the facts of life.
I want to talk about a major victory for Nevada policy last week. The state Supreme Court and the open records law, you won. And you won in a sweeping decision by the state Supreme Court.
Yeah, this was a huge win. I mean, it was a very important win anyway. Just, you know, the case itself was going to be very important. It was really going to set the stage as to whether or not we could keep a transparent government in this state. Turns out the ruling was even better than we expected. So that was fantastic news. And at this point, you know, really we only have one thing left to do to make sure that we've got a very transparent government. And that is make sure that people who violate the transparency laws in this state are actually held accountable. The court case was huge because it allows us more access to government, which is important. I mean, this was all based on the PERS case, which we've talked about before, and we can go into detail if you want. But they were going out of their way to try to hide information from folks, and the court snapped back at them and said, "You can't do that."
Let's go back to the beginning. What is it that they did, that PERS did? Why did you sue them? And what will be the end result?
Yeah, I love this story because this explains how much PERS dislikes the idea of transparency. It all started back in 2011. The Reno Gazette Journal asked for the names and payout amounts for retirees so that way they could track and see, you know, if anybody's double dipping, for example. And PERS said no. So that went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court of Nevada said, excuse me, PERS, that is public information. You have to give it over to the newspaper. So they did. It was a couple years later, or a year later, after that court decision, we asked for the exact same information. And in that time, from the court case to when we asked, PERS decided to change the way it kept its records so that way they wouldn't have to comply with the letter of the ruling. They ended up scattering the information through a couple of different records. So when we asked, they said, oh, I'm sorry, that document doesn't currently exist, therefore we don't have to give you anything. And so that's why we sued. We, you know, our argument is this is public information. You have an obligation as a government agency to give it to us.
What did the Supreme Court just rule, or did they actually order something?
They actually put out an order. This is great because this means that it is precedent moving forward. And basically, they told PERS, look, you have to put this information together and give it because it's public information. The reason why that's a big deal is because up until this point, if a government agency wanted to hide something from you, Kevin, they could just scatter it through a couple different reports, and then they would tell you, I'm sorry, the specific information you're looking for isn't all in one report nicely packed together already, therefore we don't have to give it to you. So it was a huge, huge win and a huge order, really, the court saying you have to put this information together. What's funny about this is the reason why it was such a good ruling is because PERS was essentially lying on the stand. They were explaining to people that they couldn't do it's VLOOKUP. Anybody that does Excel, you understand that you can just find information and rearrange it with really very little issue. PERS refused to say that they could do that. So the court took it one step further and said, you have to create this report for Nevada policy. And that's huge. That means moving forward, government agencies are not going to be able to easily skirt this transparency law.
Going forward, I know you, all of you folks at NPRI or Nevada Policy have butted heads with the Clark County School District. Are you going to butt heads again?
Yeah. This seems very likely. Heck, I imagine that we're probably going to butt heads with PERS again. I highly doubt that they're just going to willingly keep on handing over information. They'll find some new way to try to challenge us. We're actually suing the Clark County School District right now, again. We were doing an investigation into the abuse of special needs children, and we ran across the story, potential story, about this whistleblower who seems to have gotten fired for being a whistleblower. And so we asked for some email correspondence between a couple of employees and a board there at the school district. School district said no, that it's all confidential, that every single email that was sent was confidential. So, of course, we decided that we're going to have to sue over that as well. It's, you know, it's never ending. The government agencies are never going to willfully be transparent, and that's why it requires not only a good transparency law, but there has to be actual penalties for the government actors that decide to violate that law. And that's something that we are currently missing that the Supreme Court obviously had no power to correct.
Again, Michael Schaus joining us. He is the communications director for Nevada Policy, better known as Nevada Policy Research Institute, better known than that as NPRI, joining us in studio. And we've got just over 2 weeks. We've got early voting going on right now throughout much of the state. Not all of the state. Searchlight, I didn't know this. Searchlight, they have 1 day of early voting on the 24th. I didn't know that.
Better mark it down on your calendar.
There you go. There you go. We've got just over 2 weeks to Election Day. What is your sense? We've been hearing how close things are. Is it really that close?
I still keep going back and forth on this. After the election of Donald Trump, I said I was going to be done making political predictions because that disrupted the entire worldview of how politics should work, I think. But it is really kind of hard to guess in this state because this is a state that has been leaning blue. This is a state that seems to have a lot of people who are motivated by the Democrat Party. But at the same time, it does seem like we still are, at least our heart and soul in this state, tends to be more libertarian or conservative. So I do think that it's going to be a closer race than, say, some folks would like, especially when it comes to governor. When it comes to some of the smaller state races, I think it's really going to be a question of how big of a majority the Democrats are going to have. And that's something a lot of people don't want to hear, but that's just my take on it. Now, that being said, after 2016, again, I'm used to being wrong when it comes to political predictions.
Well, so were a lot of the pundits. They said, oh, she'll be breaking that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Then they were crying in their beer and going to safe spaces and security, security animals and things like that.
Yeah. Emotional comfort animals.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting. I am actually looking forward to this election because even though I'm not going to be good at predicting what happens, what does happen is really going to guide us moving forward on, all right, what policy issues are actually possible in this state? For example, transparency, I think that's something that is bipartisan. It doesn't matter if the Democrats or the Republicans are in charge. We can get a more transparent government. Education, I understand that a lot of the Democrats are opposed to school choice, but their voting blocks are not. 70 to 75% of Hispanics support the concept. So there are a lot of policy wins that are winnable in the future, and I think the election's going to guide us a little bit on which ones you really need to push.
And NPRI will be elbow deep in all of it. They always are. Thanks so much, man. Always fun seeing you, and I know we'll see you more coming down the line.
Yeah, always happy to be here.
Michael Schaus, Communications Director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute, better known as NPRI, or as they call themselves now, Nevada Policy. Stick around. More from Elko, the president's visit. The president wasn't the only one speaking. We'll get to that and more coming up live and local now.
This is James Dean Levitt, and I am running for judge. For the past 35 years as a missionary, lawyer, regent, and candidate for judge, I have dedicated my life to helping young men and women discover their unlimited potential in becoming productive members of society and inspiring them to change and improve their lives. This is why I am running to be the next judge in Justice Court Department 1, and I am humbly asking for your vote. Paid for by the committee to elect James Dean Levitt.
Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms,
allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.
I'm Matt Hershkovich. I'm a reconstructive surgeon, and I'm a client of City National Bank. Michael Sherman referred me to City National.
I'm Michael Sherman. I'm a business trial lawyer. I make referrals very purposefully, and City National Bank has done a terrific job with me and my family, so it was perfectly natural for me to turn Matt on to the professionals that I deal with at City National.
I was extremely impressed with their level of service and professionalism, and the part that was most helpful for me is that I got to focus on what I actually trained to do, which was practice medicine, not worry about finances. It was exactly what I was looking for and the partner that I needed. He was spot on when he referred me to City National Bank.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Roberto Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso. That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's. Choose from over 100 family recipes. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Ah, it's going to be a glorious day.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Don't forget, coming up top of the hour, my visit with the President of the United States. You don't think that's heady stuff. He was in Elko. I was here in Las Vegas. We spoke by phone. You'll get to hear that interview top of the hour. Okay? Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Monday. Brand new week. Live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. My visit with the President of the United States coming up top of the hour. We had a chance to visit with him within minutes of him getting off the stage in Elko and had a chance to visit with him. We talked about the caravan. We talked about Dean Heller, a whole bunch of other stuff. That's coming up top of the hour. But first, he was there at the rally in Elko. And I got to tell you, I love what I call the hangar rallies, where they literally taxi Air Force One up to the back of the stage in an airport hangar, And the backdrop for the president is Air Force One. Pretty majestic, if I do say so myself. Joining us, a guy that was there in the crowd and was with Michael McDonald, chair of the Nevada Republican Party, from the Multicare Group, my friend Pat Casale. Pat, what did you think of the airport hangar rally? Pretty cool? Whoops, hang on one second. Pat, are you there? Okay. Well, he is among the faithfully departed. We'll try and reconnect. Yeah. And okay. In fact, I think we've got him back on. But Pat Casale is with the Multicare Group. We talk a lot about healthcare, but we're going to talk about the visit to Elko, which was so impressive, picturesque, absolutely picturesque. And it's so cool when Air Force One pulls up right behind the stage and you see the president debark. It was so cool. I love these airport rallies. Joining us now is Pat Casale, joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. And
what?
Your interview, I heard that interview. That was amazing. You did a hell of a job, sir.
Thank you. You are too kind. Hey, tell me about the rally. You've now been to a lot of Trump rallies, but this was this your first airport rally?
The first airport rally, but more importantly, people won't realize, I think there's only about 5,000 people that live in Elko, and there was about 10,000 people that turned out. They were coming in from Idaho, Colorado, Utah, as well as Las Vegas, and some even from Arizona.
I saw one couple interviewed from the state of Washington, and I'm like, people are coming from all over. What did you think? I mean, when Air Force One rolls up, when they taxi up to the back of the stage, essentially, to me that is so impressive. I've seen it a number of times at these what I call hangar rallies. What did you think when you see Air Force One roll up?
Well, I mean, that wasn't my first rodeo, but I will sit here and tell you that anytime you see airspace totally cleared for over an hour, and then all of a sudden you see this big, incredible airplane, just jet flying in and landing, it took everybody's breath away, really. It was an impressive sight. And I got to tell you, all kudos to Chairman McDonald. And by the way, just for the record, you know, before your interview, I talked to McDonald, you know, to find out all the data on you. And McDonald really played you up big time as a friend of the party and a major supporter of President Trump.
That's why the first guy I thought of when we were talking before the interview began, and he says, everybody talks about you so well, and you got a lot of friends up here, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you tell Michael McDonald I said hi. Let me ask you, though, about the speech. I thought the speech was incredible. It was not that different from other speeches, but there was stuff that was very specific, and in particular talking about Dean Heller and Adam Laxalt.
You know, what was interesting is he got to throw Danny in there as well. The only one he left out, I was Bill and Bella, that was Crescent. But the way he came on stage, took the audience by surprise, he takes charge. His ability to take command now of the room is incredible. And then when he asked Adam Laxalt to come back up, Adam did a great job in his second speech. When he came off, he actually said, darn, I just remembered a couple of things I wanted to say. You know, there'll be another time, Adam, there'll be another time. But then he introduces Dean Heller and Lynn Heller, and it's amazing that you would think they've been best friends forever.
Well, and it is amazing, and I get a chance to ask him in the interview how this relationship turned around, and he says, I just worked with him. And once you work with a guy, you learn more about him, and you learn how they're built and all of that, and I find that incredible. Is it possible that we might get one last visit before Election Day, or is this pretty much it?
I would say there's about a 1 in 5 shot. You never know, but the way the numbers are looking right now, talking to Dan Coats, everything is really on the up and up. We kicked the behind of the Democrats in the early the mail-in vote, the absentee votes. We're up during the 2016 campaign, we were up 4%. Right now, we're up 13.1%. We're up about 9.1% over where we were in the 16 election. That's huge. I really think the turnout is much stronger than people think. I watched Ralston, and he's talking about how the edge is the Democrats. I think there's a lot of Democrats voting Republican. I really think we're going to, I mean, I'm optimistically are cautiously optimistic that I think Crescent and Danny will both win. I think Laxalt's going to win. I think what recently just came out about Sisolak will be damaging. I think Dean Heller will win between 7 and 9 points. I don't think Rosen did anything positive during the debate. I don't think Dean hurt himself, so I think he's going to win. And we're going to pick up some assembly seats, too, I believe. I think you're going to see Dickman win. I think Hopps, even though he's died, I think his seat's going to go Republican. That's where Michael McDonald is right now, up in Nye. And that's why I appreciate you allowing me to call in. But I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I don't think it's going to be a blue wave. I think you're going to see a lot of Republicans surfing that wave and just putting them to shame.
I'm curious. Michael McDonald was to have been here with us, but as you said, he's talking with lawyers in Nye. Does that mean there is a snag of some sort in this effort to get people to go to the polls in District 36 and vote for Dennis Hoff? Is there a problem that has developed?
Let's put it this way. I don't think you can say it's a problem. I think what they're doing right now is they're putting together a plan because they believe Hoff's going to win. And they want to make sure that the right candidate gets picked up, like a Joe Brzezinski, for the assembly between the three counties. I mean, that's the big problem is you're going to have three counties coming together to vote on somebody. And, you know, we don't want to be in a position, God forbid, with Oscarson again, because Oscarson got voted out substantially, and we don't want to see him backdoor his way into the office.
Again, joining us, a good friend, Pat Casale from the MultiCare Group. He normally comes on, talks about all things health care. But today, the aftermath of what was a great rally. Did you get a chance to visit with any folks up north and just their reaction?
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I got to do the walkthrough. By the way, I was behind the president in the bleachers. Overrated. That's how crowded it was. Okay, after about 20 minutes, I had to get down because it was too tight. I can't believe the exuberance, the power, the passion of the people. I talked to probably 50 people in the bleacher stands. I was helping out, telling people what to do as far as the direction of coach's team. You know, Jessica Hansen and Tiffany have been just amazing. So I got to work with that. And then, you know, the day before and being up there, we're at breakfast in our hotel and talking to a bunch of people. It was exciting. I mean, we actually went to a Wendy's, and the line was over an hour long because they're not prepared for those kind of lines.
Well, and the hotels were sold out, and it was just huge.
You talk about a man doing good things for the economy. He helped the local Elko economy big time. All those hotels and restaurants were banging them out.
Wow. It's going to be fascinating to see how this thing plays out. You mentioned the latest on Steve Sisolak, and I guess you've seen the Daily Caller and the possibility of abuse, hashtag Me Too, that is tainting the Sisolak campaign. This is something that in the final 2 weeks could be devastating to his campaign. That Laxalt margin could widen in the days to come.
You want to? I'll say this now because it's too late to happen. Steve Sisolak's biggest mistake, not having a debate. That might have been a chance for him to close the gap or give himself an edge. I think I saw Cliven Bundy up there as well. He was sitting in the front. He was standing in front of the president as well. I don't think he's going to impact the election at all. I think there'll probably be more none of the above than voted for him. I really think Adam Laxalt's going to win. He's got a hell of a team. The boots on the ground. I don't know if you know this, but we so far this year we've knocked out over 2 million doors.
Whoa!
Kevin, I don't want to go too crazy, but this could be a very big surprise. This could be reminiscent of 14. I'm telling you right now. It's big.
You want to talk about a wave election? This could be a red wave election. We'll find out. Pat, always good to visit with you. Good to have you home. But I know you're going to be back on the road for the state convention in Lake Tahoe, right?
Yeah, Lindsey Graham's supposed to be there. We're trying to put that together. And I want to just reiterate Chairman McDonald's apologies because unfortunately he couldn't get the call in. And he really wanted to be a part of this.
Well, I tell you what, we can talk with him again later in the week, and we'll try and set that up. Thanks so much, man. Always good to visit with you.
You God bless. Take care.
Pat Casale joining us from the Multicare Group, but also he was there with the president in Elko. And I got to tell you, I mean, Elko went nuts for this president. Stick around. More to do. More from the president. He makes light of Joe Biden. This is funny. You're going to want to hear this. This is from the speech in Elko. We'll do that more coming up. Live and local now. Nancy Pelosi is trying to take over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I have lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4, paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
My fellow conservatives, we have a horrible epidemic in our country and we must stop it from coming to Nevada. Mass school shootings. These happen because schools are gun-free zones, easy targets for violent murderers. I'm Joel Hanson, candidate for Nevada Attorney General. I'll promote laws to allow willing teachers to keep a firearm in their classroom to defend our school children from mass killers. Teachers have Second Amendment rights. Please visit my website at votejoelhanson.com.
Paid for by friends of Joel Hanson.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
The U.S.-Mexican border is overrun by Mexican drug cartels, drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, illegal immigration, and violence. President Trump asked governors in the Southwest to send National Guard troops to the border to help out just until he builds a wall. Adam Laxalt said if elected governor, he will refuse President Trump's request to send Nevada National Guard troops to the border. But Ryan Bundy will work with President Trump and defend our border. Vote Ryan Bundy for Nevada governor. Paid for by Ryan Bundy for governor campaign.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Hey, It is live and local now. The President of the United States visits with yours truly coming up top of the hour. The President will talk about the caravan. He'll talk about his up and down relationship over the years with Dean Heller. And we'll talk about the personal side of all of the attacks from the deep state, from the fake news media, and even from some Republicans that are trying to take down his presidency. We'll talk about that. That's coming up top of the hour on Live and Local Now. I promised I'd let you hear the president make light of Joe Biden. Joe Biden is becoming a walking, talking punchline. Not just the gaffes. He is a walking, talking gaffe maker. He is. We all know that. But I want you to listen to the president in Elko on Saturday making light of Joe Biden being in Vegas.
By the way, Joe Biden is in Las Vegas. Joe. Sleepy Joe Biden. We call him 1% Joe because he ran at least twice. I think three times. They say twice. I think he ran three times. And he never had more than 1%. So we call him 1% Joe. And then, remember what happened? And then Obama came along and took him off of the trash heap and made him vice president. But he never had more than 1%. So we call him either Sleepy Joe Biden or 1%. Which is better? Sleepy Joe? Sleepy Joe. Oh, no, she said Creepy Joe. Not creepy, creepy. She said Creepy Joe. No, I would never do that. I would never insult him like that. She said she's only kidding. I would never insult. But listen to this. So we have a lot of people. And we have 6,000-7,000 people over here that couldn't get in. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Biden, they just said the count. 193 people showed up. And we love Elko, but in all fairness, it is easier to draw a crowd in Las Vegas. Do we agree? We want to be here, but it is, right? Yeah, he had 193 people. And he was thrilled. That's one of the biggest crowds he's ever had.
I just love that. No, I do. I'm sorry, I do. One of the great things about these rally speeches is that whether it's Saturday in Elko or tonight, late afternoon, I think our time, in Houston, and then on to Charlotte and on to Wisconsin, and that he ends up giving time for local candidates to speak during his speech. He calls them up. And Dean Heller, Saturday, spoke in Elko and went right after Jackie Rosen for staying in Vegas and not wanting to campaign outside of Vegas.
Now, Mr. President, I had a debate last night. The only reason I had that debate is because you embarrassed my opponent into having it. He came to Las Vegas and said, Jackie Rosen will not debate Dean Heller. 2 days later, she agreed to a debate. Mr. President, thank you. Now, I want to have a debate in Reno. And she said no. I said, I want to have a debate here in Elko. And she said no. She will only campaign in Las Vegas. So let me tell you what the message is. If you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, or you're an independent, you don't live in Las Vegas, you are written off. That's the message. So here's the point. Here's the point. We're going to work hard. We're going to move this country forward. This president is doing a great job. Early voting starts today. Let's send a message to the Rosen campaign that we want a senator for all of Nevada. Someone who will fight for Las Vegas, someone who will fight for Reno, someone who will fight for Elko. My heart is right here in Nevada. That's where my heart is. My voice and your voice is together with mine in Washington, D.C. Mr. President, thank you for making America work again.
There you go. Dean Heller on the stump in Elko. One of the other candidates who got a page with the president was Adam Laxalt running for governor. And his comments, I thought, were very poignant because they were comments about the Democrat violence, the angry mob that now has come to Nevada.
Many of you may have heard just two nights ago, a George Soros-funded group, a tracker, going after me and physically assaulted my campaign manager. And she was injured. And he had done this before but remained on the payroll. Fortunately, he was arrested a few nights ago. We are seeing violence out of the left. We are seeing this mob mentality. And former Attorney General Eric Holder, who came to campaign with my opponent.
Thanks to Adam Laxalt for pointing that out. Coming up, the president. The president of the United States, minutes after he got off the stage in Elko, sat down with me to talk about some of the issues, the caravan, his newfound BFF with Dean Heller, and a whole bunch of other issues. Some involving his own feelings about being a political pinata. I mean, he really has been. And he gets no days off unless there's a natural disaster. Have you noticed that? Every day.
Breaking news from CNN. Breaking news from NBC News.
Have you ever noticed that? Every day. There's a new revelation. Boy, leakers are everywhere. Stick around. More to do. The President of the United States. Right here on this very radio program. No, not a clip from the speech. A sit-down interview with me. We'll let you hear it coming up in its entirety. It's all coming up live and local now.
Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.